This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, he's certainly somebody we wanted to invest money and time into trying to get him into the football club. I'd watched an awful lot of him playing in Germany before, and he was excellent over there. He hasn't let us down so far in terms of what we've seen on the training ground and the short time he's been on the first team pitch. But we want to get him fully fit, and we're sure that he's going to be a massive player for us when he is.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time. Joining me, Mr. Chris Budd.
Hello, mate. How are you?
What's my name? I didn't introduce myself.
You're David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com.
There you go. I'm all right. I've just literally got off a train from Wales after a few days up in the north of that beautiful country.
Do you feel refreshed?
Yes, I do. I think it gives the Monaco of the UK a run for its money, really, Wales. It's underrated. 100%. But coming back for Halloween, and where best to spend your time for Halloween to guarantee one hell of a horror show, a Scarefest horror show, Villa Park, Sunday afternoon. This is why we're here. Anybody who's new to the show, this is not the full show. This is just something for the weekend where we just get back up to speed. We like to start with a Villa Minute. Unfortunately, because of the Arsenal result, our sponsorship cachet has gone down, and the watch I've got here is from Seconda. They're Seconda, a supporter, sponsoring this show. So if it's not in the exact minute, then just blame Seconda watches. That's all I'm going to say. Right, shall we start?
We shall.
Start.
Villa look for a positive reaction at Arsenal to their 10-minute doghead implosion. It's one of the worst halves for Villa under Smith, as an energetic Arsenal blitz and bully an inept Villa. McPhee's set-piece evolution doesn't seem to be clue defending, as Villa's backline seems all at sea when facing basic corners. Villa ride their luck and are fortunate to only be 1-0 down as half-time approaches. VAR calls back the action and target is adjudged to have fouled Lacazette. Martinez saves the penalty, but Aubameyang dispatches the rebound. At 2-0, the game is as good as over. Smith throws on Leon Bailey at half-time, but with Villa's full-backs AWOL, Smith-Rowe adds the third. The only ray of light comes from sub Jacob Ramsey, who gets off the mark for the club with a beauty. It ends 3-1 with Smith fuming as Villa slumped to 3 losses on the bounce. Meanwhile, in the Papa John's trophy...
The what?
The under-21s progress into the knockout stages by sweeping aside MK Dons, with Cameron Archer continuing to impress with 2 more goals, and even Keenan Davis is on target. Villa will now be hoping it won't be a Hammer horror show on Halloween, a date where they've never won a Premier League game before. But that was before the birth of Villa's new Polish international right-back, Matthias Gatałka.
Each did upper. Right, sir. Just showing off some Polish there. For any Polish listeners, that's dedicated to you. First of all, Smith's press conference, nothing too exciting in terms of injuries. He was just talking about having to manage Leon Bailey and wasn't 100% about him actually being available. I think the whole Leon Bailey situation is when he's 100%, then you definitely know we're going back to four at the back. When he's being a bit umming and ahhing like this, then you're not too sure that he's going to start him, because I think you need him back fit and Traore match fit, like with games under the belt, to have the conviction that he will go to playing two wide men instead of wing backs.
You wonder though, because he's got him to 45 minutes, he'll have a full week's training. You wonder if he'll say, right, I want to start you, but get maybe like 65 minutes out of you.
Yeah, could do it that way around. But it depends if he wants to draw a line through the back three experiment, or if he sees that as ultimately working, but the back three needing games to get accustomed to it. But I'm not convinced by it, I must admit.
No, I don't think many are.
In terms of actual injuries or missing, Mr. Sanson.
Standard.
Won't be there because he's ill. Also, Jaden Philogene-Bidas. Is this COVID? Does ill mean COVID?
I think if you're saying somebody's ill on a Friday morning ahead of a Sunday game, it ain't a cold, is it?
Although, you can get flus pretty bad. I mean, I've had I was bunged up for a while and, that wasn't even a fever or anything. It was, they kind of stick around at this transitional summer to autumn. Martinez doesn't need international duty to go to Argentina anymore. He just goes. I think his father had an op. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't have any of the, they didn't still mention any of the details. He's obviously been obviously pretty poorly. For him to fly back, he obviously must have not been in great shape. But he's back in the country. He will have trained ahead of West Ham, so he'll play.
Yeah, his father, there was a picture doing the rounds of his father giving it the thumbs up from his hospital bed with his sons, I presume. Martinez has got a brother by his side, so that seems to have worked out. Smith, after the Arsenal game, you could see between the lines that he wasn't happy and he had to calm himself to do his post-match routines, interviews. They knew that Arsenal were going to come. We've already spoken about this, but I wasn't impressed. But I was kind of concerned, never mind not being impressed. But this is what West Ham's all about now, because if you had to list all the Premier League teams and after losing three games, who you probably wouldn't want to play at this moment in time, probably wouldn't want to play West Ham, because they seem to be winning on all fronts, Europe, League Cup, league, and not really caring who they're playing.
And they're that team that they can play well and win, but they can also find a way. They can dig in and grind if they have to.
Which, after the way we played against Arsenal, not the kind of opposition you want to be facing, but...
And after the Wolves implosion, West Ham will know, even actually if we're playing well, they'll know they're still in the game now. That's the thing we've given to the other teams in the league. Everyone knows that Villa aren't going to close the game out.
Yeah, so it's a very, very tricky game. It's one of those where, in fact, I think the result actually, because West Ham are capable, it's more about the performance really from Villa here. I mean, if it's a shitty game and they grab a point, fair enough, or if they beat them or whatever. But if they get beat, as long as they show signs that there's a bit of cohesion there and ideas and we're a bit more solid, because that was all over the place against Arsenal and it was a real concern. But we're talking about West Ham that are a top four team now.
Currently, yeah.
Having won three of their last four, they also beat Manchester City in the League Cup during the week, which will be a great jolt to the system. And they're winning in Europe as well. So a team in terms of momentum, confidence.
They're flying.
West Ham adding 2,500 to their stadium as well. Makes them the biggest capacity London stadium. They'll be thinking, right, if we can get into the Champions League now, this could be the opening of a fresh chapter for the club. So this is what we're facing.
Yeah, when we're susceptible and a bit of a sitting duck, you don't really want to be playing someone who's riding the crest of a wave.
I mean, Villa 3 defeats on the spin. Now, the Smith Out Brigade are starting to stitch together last season's results, which obviously we finished badly, so it doesn't look good when they're saying how many games we've won in the last 28 games or, whatever quota of games they're using. For me, I mean, it's a different season. There's been mitigating circumstances. I still don't think... I think I mean, I'm looking at West Ham actually very envious where they are, because that's well within what you're expecting Villa to do. They're probably a bit further down the road in terms of having a team gelled. I mean, we've brought in four with Tu and Zabi playing, players that you would expect to be potential starters. And so it's going to take a few games to bed in, and they haven't been afforded that luxury of actually being fit or playing together. So it's been a real disjointed start, and that has really destroyed Villa's momentum and hasn't given them any chance to get any confidence going. So we're kind of playing catch up. But if we can beat West Ham, I must say, with those three games in November, which are what you would call winnable, I think it would set them up nicely. So it could be a pivotal. I mean, if 3 points against West Ham would be a pivotal result big time. And I think it would put the spring in a lot of people's steps and have us confident heading into November to put some points on the board before those nasty, nasty seven games in December against some, you know, Liverpool, Manchester City thrown in there.
Yeah. I mean, thank God we haven't got to factor in cup matches in December as well, which of course we did in previous seasons. But we're actually winless in our last six Premier League games against West Ham. If ever we are owed one here. We haven't beaten them at home since May 2015. That was the season we obviously got to the cup final and just about stayed up. I think it would have been a Tom Cleverley goal, the winner in that one.
Grealish kind of danced in. Pulled it back to Cleverley and under Sherwood.
It was a very big win, that one.
Yeah. And Villa should have won the last game, though, shouldn't they?
Well, we should have won the game at their place. We obviously fucked up, didn't we? And Watkins had one chalked off and missed a penalty. And they deservedly won the game at Villa Park in the second game of that was the one when Lingard made a huge difference. And I personally thought with Lingard leaving, I didn't know if they'd have the same momentum. But they've actually carried their momentum on from the end of last season really well. They look a very well-gelled team.
Yeah, even players like Jared Bowen's actually been impressive. I just thought he was too left-footed, like a one-trick pony, but he's actually fitted in reasonably well there as well.
Yeah, and they're unbeaten. They're unbeaten in seven away from home.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The midfield, Suchek, Declan Rice that's the heart of their success, really. And that's potentially what's missing from the Villa team is those type of midfielders, or one of them at least.
Yeah.
What's the key stat, would you say?
There's a few. I mean, obviously, there was the one we mentioned earlier. Villa have never actually won a Premier League game on Halloween, but it's a bit of a tenuous one.
What is it? So what is it? This will be our fourth game on Halloween.
Yeah, fourth game on Halloween. Yeah, we've drawn a couple.
So, I mean, I love it when, like, I don't know, Sky would ever come out, Villa have never won a Premier League game on Halloween. It's like, what's the context? That suggests that we've played 80 times or something.
But no, four. This will be the fourth.
Anything else?
The one I quite like, actually, West Ham have yet to concede a goal in the six games that Ben Johnson's been on the pitch.
Is this the Canadian shamed 100-metre runner, sprinter?
The very same.
I didn't know he was playing football. He's like doing what Usain Bolt tried to do in Australia.
But he looks a good player. He looks a really good player. And the other one, which I quite like, was West Ham were the first team to beat Man City in the Carabao Cup in 1,827 days.
Wow. Just on Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's the defender that's come through the ranks at West Ham, has he?
I believe so, yeah.
So Ben Johnson won for your fantasy teams there, if they've never conceded a goal while he plays. You could talk about bloody tactics or whatever, but you just need to see a reaction from the players that they actually want this, because it looked like there was something wrong in the camp. It was really strange.
Yeah, you can't tell if it's like a lack of confidence, a lack of cohesion, the new system. There could be lots of little factors that have all worked together and it's just not quite happening. But I do think because we've had a few sort of injuries come back, I think Smith will have... The fact that we played on the Friday night and play late Sunday means... Smith can't ask for any more time to prep with the players.
Because you had Sansong kicking water bottles as well. I don't, that, maybe that was just frustration for him personally rather than...
That. I don't mind that.
Maybe it was personal frustration as opposed to, you know, against the manager or anything like that. So it's probably understandable. Because he's probably chomping at the bit to get on the pitch and perform. I mean, you know, we thought he was back, but then disappeared off injured again. But, you know, tactically, it's really all on, is he going to go with the three at the back again and see it as a long-term progression in terms of giving the players time to get accustomed to it? Or is he thinking, right, we need a reaction and I need to change the bloody system? What do you think he's going to go for?
I think if, as you said earlier, I think if Bailey's fit, it's four at the back.
By fit, we mean like properly match
yeah,
fit. Really.
Yeah, ready to start, yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if he went with Watkins on the left, Bailey on the right.
Yeah.
And a slightly more sort of solid three across the middle.
Buendia in there? Would you say Louise McGinn, Ramsey, or do you
probably,
think Buendia
yeah,
would be
I
in
think,
there?
I think Buendia might be the full guy there. Although you never know, he could play Buendia as well. But that's putting a lot of, you know, it's potentially a lot of work to put McGinn, Ramsey and Louise against Souček, Rice. I think those two guys are, you know, they're sort of much more physical than our three. So you're going to have to play well with the ball, which, let's be honest, all season we haven't looked great, bar little fleeting moments.
I'm just thinking, is it worth putting Buendia in there just to give those two West Ham deep chaps something to think about?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, one of the things you notice about Buendia when we've watched highlight reels, certainly when you look at his assists, is he's great when you let him pull the strings and he's great at threading balls through him. And if you've got Watkins, Ings and Bailey, you've got, you know, you've got mobility in your front three. Why not use that and just get a player who can pop the ball around at pace? And it might suit him better having a little bit more option going forward. Because clearly, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the back three not working, but actually the front two as a pairing hasn't really been working either. So I don't, I think the fans would say, well, why not change it? What harm can do? You know, if the 3-5-2 is an experiment and it's just we want to have an option for when we go to, you know, your Chelsea away, Man U away, etc., so be it. I don't mind that. But it's, I think Sunday you start to see, if he plays through at the back again, you go, okay, this is clearly the way he wants to play now.
Yeah, because I don't mind, like you say, you know, if you go for that Buendia option, playing the back four, which is tried and tested, save to target and cash, right? You're not staying up in their bloody half this time. So when they counter, they're countering against a back four as opposed to three. So you are kind of more solid by default straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mings and Konsa are much, much more suited to that back two.
Yeah, absolutely.
When they're a centre-back pair, it's a dynamic that's tried, trusted and works. And I don't think it's like you're not suddenly defensively weaker, because we are. It is so much like a three at the back. It's almost to the letter. Those fullbacks have been, them going up so far ahead, it's easy for the opposition to know how to counter us.
And it isn't like Target's like a, you know, a ridiculous speedster at fullback.
No.
You know, it's like he ain't going to run from the opposition penalty area back to his own and catch a good winger. He's just not. So you have to be clever. He has to pick his moments when to go. Because I think we've said before, you know, he's really good on the overlap, but you have to pick your moment when you're going to go. And I think if you've got someone like a Watkins, you've got a natural runner out there. And also Watkins's work rate potentially out there, I think could be useful, because I think the opposition fullback's going to be a little bit more wary, certainly on the other side with Bailey, about bombing forward.
Yeah, so I'd be happy, you know, playing Buendia in a three and having a front three.
Yeah.
With Ings, you know, even if Ings is coming, dropping off deep at times with Bailey and Watkins swapping around.
Well, yeah, it can all be interchangeable. That's that was kind of as we'd spoken about in sort of July and August about how we thought they would probably, how it would all fit together eventually, but we haven't seen it yet.
But with Cash and Target pegging back a bit, staying back a bit, not you know, it's not Buendia on the ball and he's looking for an overlap from Cash or Target. It's mainly Buendia on the ball servicing, trying to find angles for that interchangeable front three.
And also the midfield three, they can all interchange. You know, generally you'd think Louise will be the deeper sitting player, but actually McGinn can do that. McGinn you want to see getting forward. So I think it with a front sort of, you know, three and a three, it gives you options to have all these parts interchanging if it works well. So we will see. I think you need to give West Ham something different to think about as well. I think because I think they're a better team currently than Tottenham and Arsenal and Wolves, who we've played against and lost against.
Yeah, I think you need to give Villa supporters something else to think about as well.
Yeah, I think that it's one of those games. I mean, it's always important, but I think this one especially with the general landscape within the fan base, etc., first 20 minutes is so important, because if you go a goal down early, we know the Boo Boys are just waiting now.
Well, I don't know if they are yet.
I think they are. And I know there's a lot of that's just sort of Twitter nonsense, but I thought the atmosphere against Wolves was flat. The atmosphere, from what I gathered down at Arsenal, wasn't particularly great.
I mean, to be honest, for, you know, seeing every game at Villa Park, it hasn't been that great, has it? You were expecting
You've
it to be
moments,
like that.
Haven't you? Everton was okay in the second half. And
you were expecting after the timeout, you were thinking, oh, it's going to be like that Everton game, you know, when, in our first season back, where it was absolutely electric.
It just hasn't been.
I mean, there's been problems, you know, with Villa Park being a sustained, let's say, wall of noise, you know, for decades now. But you were just hoping that there would be some kind of reset, and that people would be itching for it.
I think there's a bit of a chicken and egg thing with the Villa as well, because I think the fans, generally you'll always get a bit of a lift before the game, but if the team come out and it doesn't look like they're at the races, I don't necessarily think the fans are always going to be able to lift the team. Whereas I think if the players give you a little bit, the fans will go, right, we're in the game today, you know, the players are up for this, we're up for it as well. And it's that thing of who goes first.
I don't think we'll ever get, you know, like, for example, in German stadiums where it doesn't really matter what the players are doing. They will just, the supporters give it full all the way through.
I think it's just a cultural thing. It's the same in Italy, isn't it, as well? Yeah. You know, the ultras just
anyway, well, let's not dally on that. Just a final thing, new segment to something for the weekend, which we started last time, is who we poaching from the opposition to improve Villa's first 11?
Declan Rice, for me.
Why?
In terms of what we need right now, I think he's probably, him and Kante, probably Kante's slightly ahead of him still, but he's probably one of the best central midfielders in the league. I think he's physical, he can get forward a little bit. He's got a goal in him, actually, which he doesn't get as much credit for. Tough in the tackle. He's that kind of player that everybody likes, because you know he gives you 110%, wins things in the air. I think he's just got that ability to control the game a little bit better than we currently have in the number six role, but he can play as a six or an eight. I think he's the kind of player that actually, just personality-wise, I think him and McGinn would probably get on like a house on fire.
You could probably argue that if you had a list of any Premier League player, or you could choose from any of the teams, that he could be like in a top five on a wish list, really, in terms of that defensive midfielder position. But you would be playing him instead of Douglas Luiz.
Okay.
But, you know, that, in terms of needs, wouldn't you agree that is this in terms of what supporters have been asking for?
I'm quite a fan of Antonio up front. I think he's great. Again, he's that kind of player who, you know, you can just bully teams, and he's not too, I mean, he's bullied us on a couple of occasions, hasn't he? But I think for what we need right now, I think Declan Rice, or even a Suchek, to be fair, but certainly for me, Rice just edges it, would be great.
Yeah. Right, it's time to go and watch a bit of the Cricket World Cup, I think.
I've got the 2020 World Cup, and I've got the tennis.
What tennis?
It's the Transylvania Open at the moment. I think Raducanu's playing today. So I'll have split screen.
I can live without that.
Go ahead.
Right, before we go, the show is supported by Free Trade, the commissionless trading app. If you sign up to Free Trade and fund your account, you will get a free share from the value of £3 to £200 to set you on your way of actually creating a portfolio for long-term wealth, which is something that everybody should look into in terms of investing and not gambling. But as with all investments, your capital is at risk. But do go to freetrade.io/moms, MOMS, for more details. And I will post the link on Facebook and Twitter over the weekend. Right. Any final thoughts before we go?
No, not really.
Good. It's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.